Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Yeah, that was probably just idle speculation. Don't think the Padres are going to trade Luis Arraez for a pitcher with several years of control at the top of their game.
I don't know how you don't you need offense in Seattle, but I don't think you need it that bad to trade one of those guys. And again, great Luis Arraez, great fit here. Just what does he do for the Mariners? You're setting the table for who? Cal Raleigh and Randy Arozarena? They need Juan Soto. You know, they need a guy like Juan Soto in Seattle. Imagine having all of that pitching depth and not even being able to make the playoffs. They have by far the most quality starts of any team in baseball. Just an elite, elite staff, and you just can't find enough offense to get you there when everybody makes the playoffs.
It's really backfired on Jerry DePoto, right? He's the Mariners GM.
Oh, man,
when they made it public, intentionally or not,
it was intentional
that their strategy is always to win. What was it like?
54%
of their games to try to sneak into the playoffs. That's the kind of thing that you say behind closed doors.
Your fan base should riot.
Yeah, you talk with your assistant GM about, hey, if we can just win 54% of our games and sneak into the playoffs, we might win a World Series that way and keep costs under control and keep our owner happy. You're more than happy to say that in the boardroom behind closed doors. You don't say that publicly to a fan base.
He said it publicly.
Yeah.
In the press conference. Well, listen, we're really only shooting for about 54%. Excuse me?
Saying the quiet part out loud, Jerry. Yeah. Don't do that. That's not what fans want to hear. They want to hear Peter Seidler. They want to hear, we want to bring a parade to Seattle, and one day the baseball gods will smile on Seattle and there will be a parade or even an appearance in the World Series, which they have never had in their franchise history.
It's that you take comfort and you take solace in the fact that you're not as bad as the Mariners. Your history is not as bad as the Mariners' history. And I don't know that any team has done less with more over their history than the Seattle Mariners. Think about all of the great players that have played there. Some of the teams that they put together.
Griffey, Edgar,
oh my
Ichiro.
God, still couldn't get it done. Randy Johnson. I mean,
Felix Hernandez.
A-Rod. The list goes on and on and on, and you're like, dude, why? They could just never get over the hump. I mean, that's when the Yankees were just taking it to them most of the time and back in the day, but like, I get it, man. You're a victim of your circumstances and your time in history. Padres definitely have been in their two World Series appearances, played two of the best teams to ever walk the planet in the Tigers and the 98 Yankees. So you're a victim of circumstance sometimes, but holy smokes, man. The Mariners, they got to figure it out offensively. I don't think he's the target.
Give me the little rumor that you saw this morning involving one of the Padres free agents before we get to Frankie and the Rindle report.
Yeah, you know, Joseph Kim is an interesting guy, and I think a lot of Padres fans followed him. He's a big fan of Ha-Sung Kim, and he's reporting. And again, I don't know how much weight to give the Joseph Kim reporting. He says that the Giants and Ha-Sung Kim are getting very close, and he actually had some. Number. He's at a 4-year deal. They're getting close on a deal. And if you're Ha-Sung Kim, you're like, Joseph, you got to stop breaking this stuff, man, because he's been wrong more than he's been right, I feel. But
I mean, that's been the speculation. I mean, long before Ha-Sung Kim even got to free agency, that the Giants, with his brother-in-law in center field, would be a logical landing spot. A team that needs a shortstop, you know, stays on the West Coast, knows Bob Melvin. Lot of reasons why Ha-Sung Kim, just because it makes a lot of sense, doesn't necessarily mean it's true, but it's certainly something that's going to feel like it could be accurate.
Yeah, no question. No question.
More than that, I guess we'll know soon.
So we'll see. We'll see if they do that. And, you know, he's going to be on the shelf for a few months to start the season. Certainly, the Giants fans that I do follow, they're not elated about it.
All right, it's just like the Rindle Report, but with Godfather music.
That's right.
And it's run by Frank. Let's get to it.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Oh, yeah.
All right. Just trying to sneak in that last hour, getting that on the podcast here while I was doing this.
Multitasking?
Yes, trying my best.
Paulie wears a lot of hats.
He does.
It's tough to replace him. There's no doubt about that.
Trying my best and succeeding for the most part. All right.
You're doing great, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I hope so. I got two more days of this.
Yeah.
It was once one of the most exciting moments in all of sports to see an elated fan base of students storming the field after seeing their underdog school beat an overwhelming favorite. It was something everybody waited for. Now it's a pointless gesture that has lost all meaning because of nonsense that we saw on Saturday. Three fan bases stormed the field on Saturday. Auburn fans stormed the field after beating number 15 Texas A&M in four overtimes. Auburn hasn't been great over the last dozen years, but they do have two national championships under their record. The second was Oklahoma storming the field after beating number 7 Alabama. The Sooners, while they are 6-5 this year, have made the college football playoffs four times since the playoffs have been implemented, the last time being 2019.
That's embarrassing. Oklahoma, you should never be storming the field. You should be like, finally, actually win a game that, you know, we should be winning here, even against Alabama. And to do it twice is especially embarrassing.
Exactly. And the most egregious was Arizona State beating number 14 BYU at home. Oh, almost forgot. Arizona State was ranked number 21.
So they're ranked. They beat a slightly higher ranked team and rushed the field. Also, you got to give them a little bit of leeway because it's Tempe. They party. Like, they That's a party school. One kid got arrested. Did you see that?
Ranked.
So I was watching the end of this game, and the clock hit zero. So they had one player with like 7 seconds left, and Arizona threw a ball way out of bounds to try to run the clock down because it was fourth down. And it hit zero, and they stormed the field. They tore down the goalpost. But the officials go over to the monitor, and they go, hold on. It actually went out of bounds with 1 second left. We're turning it over on downs and giving it to BYU at midfield with a chance to throw a Hail Mary to win the game because they were only down five. Only one problem. There is literally like 7,000 kids on the field, and they've got to get them all off and the goalpost back off the field so they can run one more play.
Yeah. Kenny Dillingham?
Yeah.
Not happy.
No.
Not happy. By a long stretch, was screaming at the officials as they were looking at the
I don't know what he was mad about. The officials were right. It went out of bounds with 1 second left.
Yep.
They didn't run the play effectively. He needed to, like, stall for a second before throwing. He just, like, dropped back and threw it, and the time didn't run out. So I don't know what he was complaining about, but they had to get thousands. So eventually they just had to push them, like, to the other side of the field. They couldn't get them all back into the stands because, you know, it's easy to jump down.
Oh, yes. It's easy to get back up.
It's a lot harder to get back up.
Yeah.
So they're all, like, in the other end zone waiting for this last play. I never have cheered for BYU in my life. I cheer against BYU pretty. It almost would have been funny if they could have thrown the Hail Mary and won the game and seen what happened to all those fans at Arizona State.
It was wild, dude. Wild. Wild scene. I saw a kid getting put in handcuffs and dragged off to jail in Tempe. Now,
Tom says he saw a video of an ASU student in BYU's medical tent during the last play.
Oh, God. Now, the interesting part about this, too, with the goalposts being removed, there's fines involved. Correct?
Yes. Well, in college football now, there's a field storming fine.
Just for storming the field, the goalpost.
Of $100,000. They're trying to stop it from happening.
Okay. What is it? It's not like they take it out of the students who stormed the field's pocket.
From the athletic department of the school.
So, you're not going to curtail it unless you like start arresting people on the spot,
which you have to.
But you can't. There's too
many. You make announcements. You tell them don't storm the field. The irony is, and I didn't realize this. So the $100,000 actually goes to the losing school that you're playing against.
Yes.
So Alabama has had this field stormed on them all three losses, and it was twice that Oklahoma did it because they did it once and then they realized it was too early and had to do it again. Just like Arizona State. So they got fined $200,000 for it, which means Alabama has made $400,000 extra dollars on their three losses this year for having the field stormed on them every single time.
That's what you want to do.
I mean, that goes like, is that NIL money? I mean, you're just making it easier for Alabama to come back and beat you the next time.
Yeah, you want to make sure that you give Alabama more cash at their hands, at their fingertips to spend. Somebody said, Gus said they should just build a moat around the field. Yeah, if you jump,
Well, so they've done that like at those soccer games where, you know, the hooligans to keep them off the field, and they have like the razor wire, barbed wire fences, but then people just died because they got crushed into the fences at the end of the game as people tried to storm the field anyway, and the people in the front all just got crushed to death, which that didn't work either.
I mean, you know, and you're sitting here talking about like asking college students not to do it. And I don't think that's a reasonable ask. I really don't. I don't know who decides when to do it. I think it's a spur of the moment thing. I think everyone's drunk.
It's a reasonable ask. You can ask college.
Well, you can ask all you want, but doesn't.
You can ask college students not to do various crimes and they are expected not to do.
Is it a crime?
That's not, but I'm saying you can ask them not to do things. It's not unreasonable to ask a college student not to do something.
I don't think it's unreasonable. I think it's dumb. It's a dumb ask.
It's potentially dangerous. They don't want it happening anymore. And yes, I saw the question. Yes, players have gotten injured. Fans have gotten injured. It's chaos. It's not a good thing out on that field or basketball court or wherever.
You ever storm a field?
No. Have you?
Yes.
Oh, of course you have. What was your field storm?
I was 11.
11.
My brother and I, Notre Dame played SMU, and it was there.
Notre Dame fans should never be storming a field.
But it was there,
SMU?
Like
you.
Well, it was. Well, SMU was.
That's true. Is this
really
back when you were younger?
SMU's
this was back
good
when
now,
they were cheating,
but,
so they were good.
Yeah, but it was like Notre Dame's it was some crazy record they set, consecutive home wins, and we were there with our parents, and everyone was running down on the field. So my dad's like, "Go ahead." So we ran down on the field. I'm dapping up players. I was a little kid. My brother and I both.
Baseball fans never storm the field.
I don't know.
They used to.
Yeah, only on
69 they did it when the Mets won the World
Series. That's true.
Oh, yeah. And when, like, Chris Chambliss
hit
that big home run.
Like when the Padres beat the Dodgers in 2022. Oh, that night?
I'm glad we did not.
Steep field storming night.
That's embarrassing, I think.
Yeah, no, that's reserved for a World Series. But, I mean, this is reserved for App State beating Michigan.
Fair.
It's reserved for, like, UC Irvine beating Purdue in basketball. Like, that's what it's reserved for.
So you're now the,
it's not
you're
for
the dictator.
Two ranked teams.
The gatekeeper.
The gatekeeper.
Yeah, I'll take that.
All right.
I'll take that hit. That's
you,
fine by
you
me.
Go on ESPN every week, and you let every fan base know you're allowed.
The thing is, nowadays, you're if you're good enough to be hosting one of those schools, because they'll never, Michigan would never play at App State. I mean,
no. Right.
So you're never going to actually be at home to storm the field against one of those
Correct.
Teams. If you're good enough to host the team, then you shouldn't ever be rushing the court or the field.
Fair enough.
I would agree with that 100%. Okay, so next up, we are going to go back to college football in a minute, but we'll start with this. I was here last year, right after the Las Vegas Grand Prix, the Formula One put on. And guess what ran on Saturday night? This year's Grand Prix was a lot more tame than last year's.
I didn't even realize it was happening, actually. It was way less promoted and way less hype.
I
asked him this morning, when does it happen? He goes, it already happened.
It's about 36 hours ago. There was some craziness, though. It did start in practice where the drivers complained about the strong smell of marijuana all around the circuit. So
on the Vegas Strip, really.
That's yeah, who would have
crazy.
Thought, right? After the smoke settled, Brad Pitt collapsed on the pit straight while filming a scene for his new movie, F1.
Yeah. Like, on purpose?
No,
or
it was like, his acting.
Yeah,
it was a pad on the ground.
Yeah, he was filming a scene for the movie. That comes out next year. It's called F1. How creative a title is that? The race then went off without too much drama.
Did Max Verstappen win?
No, he did not.
Oh, now that's
we will get to him though. He is a part of this. Exiting Ferrari driver Carlos Sainz ignored team orders, leaving teammate Charles Leclerc wondering if the team gave him the orders in a language that Sainz could understand. So what happened was Sainz is Spanish. Leclerc is going for second place in the world championship. So typically in Formula One, you'd tell the guy who's not really fighting for it, hey, stay behind the guy and just let him get the
points. Tank for your teammate.
Yeah,
like, don't finish ahead of your teammate. It's more important for him.
Ben could never. Never.
Sainz was told, just lay back, don't put Leclerc under any pressure, and just ride. And Sainz figured the best way to not put Leclerc under any pressure is if he passed him and ran away, which is exactly what he did. Leclerc responded by saying, try asking him in Spanish.
He didn't understand the assignment.
Oh, he didn't put any pressure on him. He finished, but you're just supposed to finish behind him.
Yes. George Russell headed a Mercedes 1-2 finish, making Russell the seventh multi-race winner of the season, which in Formula One is insane.
George Russell doesn't sound like an F1 driver.
It sure doesn't.
No,
it needs to be fancier. Like how Italian Paul says Grand Prix.
Right. And George Russell sounds a little too mundane to
George
be an F1.
George Russell.
Yeah.
Max Verstappen joined names like, here's some more names for you. Juan Manuel Fangio.
See, that sounds F1.
Yep. Alain Prost.
Yes,
oh, God,
F1.
Yeah.
Michael Schumacher.
Yeah, absolutely F1.
Lewis Hamilton.
I'll give that to him, yeah.
And Sebastian Vettel.
Absolutely.
By winning his fourth world championship. Two races remain in the 2024 season in Qatar and Abu Dhabi over the next 2 weeks. Teams championship is still very close with McLaren leading Ferrari by 24 points with a maximum of 88 points up for grabs.
Okay.
Now, George Russell, no.
No.
I'm Bill Jones. I'm a Formula One driver. just doesn't sound right.
Wheeler Fake next Thursday.
That's a good one.
F1 race. All right. Start studying up because you know it's coming.
Leclerc, Verstappen, Russell.
Yeah, Russell. You like that one?
Just the way it was.
Russell. Is that NIP?
Yeah. We'll go back to college football here really quick.
Okay.
The playoff poll has not been released yet. However, the new polls have been. Top four remaining the same: Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State. Notre Dame goes up to number five. Indiana, with their loss, goes all the way down to number 10. SMU jumping up four spots up to nine. Clemson is up to 12. Alabama down six, down to 13. Arizona State goes up to 14. So there's another reason to storm the field, I guess.
Yep.
Old Miss goes down six. They're down to 15. BYU and Texas A&M both go down 5 to 19 and 20, respectively. Colorado, after their loss, drops 7 down to 23. Mizzou jumps up into the top 25, and Army just clings on in 25th.
I want to talk a little bit more about the Big 12 chaos, Colorado, Dion, when we come back, and the Ohio State-Indiana game, kind of a disappointing marquee matchup of the weekend. A little more college football. Thank you, Frankie, for the Italian Paul report there. We'll also give away some Seals tickets for their home opener coming up this Sunday, December 1st, against Philadelphia. That's all after a check of traffic. Don't go away. More Ben and Woods coming up on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, it's bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
We listen to the Inside San Diego Baseball program with Sam Levitt on Wednesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97.3 The Fan. And our YouTube page, Sam and Frank, usually, right? Aren't you kind of co-hosting, kind of sidekicking with Sammy on Wednesday nights?
More
talk
or
things,
less.
All things Padres baseball, keep you up to date on the latest Hot Stone Rumors. Now, are you working this week with Thanksgiving on Thursday?
No.
No, off this week.
Yeah, just doing your guys' show.
Right. Well, but is Sammy doing a show this week?
No.
No, off this week. Okay. So next Wednesday, when the hot stove is heating up again.
Odd time to start a baseball show.
Well, he's done about three or four of them.
Yeah. How is it? I haven't had a chance to listen.
Well, he doesn't do it during the season because he's working every single night during the season.
Right.
This keeps Sammy active. You don't want him to wither away during the off season.
Well, he's busy. He's got pickleball and things like that.
Keep Sammy on the forefront of people's minds during the off season.
Just come take my spot if he wants.
He's doing a lot of pickleball.
He is playing a lot of pickleball, which is good for Sammy. But yeah, I can see it. They're paying you, so we can have you do something.
Sammy, I think, could fairly point out, but I've already worked enough days this year to really tackle my 2024. You don't really need to work me anymore the rest of this year.
That would be my argument.
<As you know. laughs> So he's been a pleasure to work with, too.
He worked like 200 plus days from the start of spring training through the end of the baseball season.
Is Sammy a bit of a tyrant to work for, like Ben?
No, Sam's just kind of does his own thing. He goes on a lot of tirades.
Oh, he does tirades. But... Okay. Yeah.
About us?
No.
Yeah, he likes us.
What do we? He likes
yeah,
us.
Okay, he likes good. Us. I go on a lot of tirades on air. Which I probably shouldn't, but I do, instead of saving them for off the air. I also go on a lot of tirades off air, so just a tirading kind of person. You don't throw many tirades, do you?
I do not.
About Chargers leaving is one.
I did.
Yeah.
My big TV tirade.
The tirades about run differential.
Somewhat.
This year you were very
calm. I didn't have any really... There was
nothing to complain about.
There's nothing out of the ordinary in the Padres run differential this year. Last year, it was just bizarre and didn't make sense.
What are the other things you have tirades about? That's really it. You need to have more tirades.
I don't even tirade about traffic. I just grin and bear it.
You sit in a lot of traffic.
I do, but it's okay. There was some traffic on the way to work this morning.
It was
actually more annoying than the... You know, I expect traffic when I'm going to Channel 10 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't expect traffic on the way to work at 5 in the morning.
Well, they're fixing those roads,
but they're working on the 805, and they're working on the 52, and they were both down to one lane. It's like, I finally get through the 805 construction, get right on the 52, and I hit it again. I'm going, are you kidding me? You're kidding me, right?
None for me, because I was like 4:30 in the morning.
And it was right at the tail end as they were picking up the cones. It's like, if I had just been 10 minutes later, this thing would have been wide open and clear. But of course, no, I hit both of them before they're done.
Well, that's why they got to do that work out there, because the traffic builds up.
And overnight is the best time to do it. I see those guys out there.
Oh, my God. I'm driving by, and I'm like... Oh, my God. Those guys are doing work right now. I'm going to go in and BS for 4 hours.
It's odd because oftentimes I will see them at the end of my TV shift on my way home.
Yeah.
Laying out the cones and getting ready for their overnight work. And then I see them wrapping up on my way in the morning. And I always think, man, they've been there all night.
Yeah.
You know,
brutal shift.
Working their shift in, 8 hours out on the road.
Concrete, like it's serious.
Just by the lights that they bring to keep it going. Dangerous with traffic moving, obviously way too fast late at night. It's a hazardous job out there.
It is. My hat's off to you guys. You guys do great work.
So, and hopefully there's some tier ones out there that are catching them in the morning, early on at 6 a.m. as they're getting off their shift overnight. All right, a little college football. Well, actually, it's the bottom of the hour, so why don't we save that for our final segment? We'll just give away the tickets to the Seals game right now. We've got a pair of tickets to the Seals home opener. It is coming up this Sunday against the Philadelphia Wings. If you want to call now, fifth caller is going to win at 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Pechanga Arena is again their home this year. You can check out the $5 beer special, 16-ounce Salty's Golden Crown from Mason Ale Works. First 1,500 fans are going to get a Trevor Baptiste bobblehead.
Ooh.
He's your face-off guy, correct?
Oh, beast.
Sirens dance team performing between every quarter. Do you introduce them?
I do not. Oh, I say, ladies and gentlemen, please make some noise for the San Diego Sirens.
That is introducing them.
Sirens, yeah.
There's an opening night t-shirt available to purchase, and you always get the fast-paced, non-stop action of the NLL. Never stops. They don't have, stoppages in play. They just go back and forth and back and forth.
There's penalties and things, but it's...
That's when you go to work.
Yeah.
Start banging on the glass and announcing, what do you say when they have a penalty?
Oh, it's time for the walk of shame.
The walk of shame.
Yeah, it's a good bit.
Right. Yeah, it's a good bit.
It's fun. I cannot believe it's coming up on Sunday. I cannot believe it.
Join Woodsy at the Seals game at Pechanga Arena. I see the callers coming in. Frankie will get to those during our break, and we will come back. A little more college football talk in our final segment with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gives me a headache.
Going through the college football rankings and playoff possibilities with Woods.
It's great, but
it's giving you a headache. And I actually, you don't even know the half of it. Because the conference champions, get the automatic, the top five conference champions get the automatic berth. But figuring out the conference champions and who plays in the championship game has never been more complicated. Because most conferences have gone away from the divisions, and it's simply like 14 or 16 teams all in a long list of standings, yeah. And one plays two, which means you're going to have some very complicated tiebreakers, because obviously not every team can play every other team in a 14 or a 16 team conference. There's not enough games in the regular season. So you don't play some of the teams in your conference. How do you determine a fair tiebreaker between two teams that finish with the same record in conference, two losses, whatever? They didn't play each other, right. So you don't have the head-to-head as the best tiebreaker. So then what do you do? Now it's like, okay, who has the best strength of victory in the conference? Who is it? Point differential? How are you determining who that next best team is going to be? And in the Big 12, It's a giant mess right now, and we'll talk about it a little bit after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. You know me, Woods. I love playoff permutations and possibilities, and that's essentially what this race is. But in the Big 12, with 1 week left in the season, you have nine teams that are still alive to reach the Big 12 championship game. 6-2 Arizona State, 6-2 BYU, 6-2 Iowa State, 6-2 Colorado, 5-3 Baylor, 5-3 Kansas State, 5-3 TCU, 5-3 Texas Tech, and 5-3 West Virginia. There are scenarios that could get any one of those nine teams into the conference championship game. And if you play for the conference championship and win it,
you're in.
You are into the college football playoff. So theoretically, West Virginia, with their 6-5 record at the moment, is not out of it when it comes to making the college football playoff. That would be very chaotic if they were. And this is only a possibility now because of what happened. BYU losing their last two games. They were undefeated. Lost to Arizona State over the weekend. We talked a little bit about that game during Frankie's Rindle report. And also because Colorado lost to Kansas on the road. And
so, but wait, Arizona State,
6-2.
They're 9-2.
Yes.
They're 6-2 in the conference.
Right.
BYU, 6-2, 9-2 overall.
Right.
Head to head, Arizona State wins.
Right. But if they're the top two teams, they may play again in the conference championship.
Right.
If it's a tiebreaker between those. But if it's a multi-team, if like four teams are tied, you can't just go to head to head, because if they haven't all played each other, you have to go to the next tiebreaker. You can't just say, well, Arizona State beat BYU, they're out. But what if BYU beat Iowa State? And then Iowa State, I don't know exactly. See, this is even too complicated for me to figure out. That's my point here. It is so convoluted as to how they're going to determine the two teams.
Well, does the schedule this week of games, is there going to be any more clarity after this week?
Well, it'll be completely clear. Yeah, I mean, they'll send an email at the end of the week and tell you, here are the two teams that made it.
Because this is who's in.
They have to have clarity, because there won't be any more games to be played.
But I mean, head-to-head matchups.
There will be, obviously. Every game is important.
Yeah, it's important
this
to
week.
Win.
But nothing, I don't think any team actually totally controls their own destiny. I think Arizona State and BYU are in the best spot, but they even may need some help, ultimately, because if the wrong combination of tiebreakers ends up happening, that they could even get aced out somehow. So that's why I can't even totally figure out. Colorado could have made things a little more simple if they had just beaten Kansas on the road. But Deion, who, again, I go run so hot and cold on Deion. You know, sometimes I think, like, oh, he's the best thing ever for college football. Sometimes I think, God, he's the worst, and this is just terrible. He had a great quote after his team's loss to Kansas.
Oh,
he said,
his post-game speech was incredible.
He said, we started smelling ourselves.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when you think about it, that you know exactly what he means. Got a little too full of themselves, a little overconfident.
You started reading it? you know, you started reading it and believing everything they said. And I loved what I love how he flipped it around. I watched his whole postgame speech in the locker room, and he said, you know, what do you do about it now? Now what are you going to do about it? And I thought, you know, again, I've been hot and cold on him, mostly hot as far as Deion goes as a head football coach. I feel like he knows what he's doing, knows the game, and I feel like he has his players' best interests at heart. Maybe too much sometimes, you know what I mean? Especially his own. He's the king of daddy ball. There's no question. But his son is a good player. That loss to them, it was just devastating. The two losses that jumped off the page this weekend, Ole Miss, they were poised. They were absolutely poised to get out and make some noise, and they got smoked. Jackson Dart, I think, threw three picks in like 2 minutes. I mean, it was just a horrible, horrible showing from them. They threw a lot of chaos into it. Deion and his team going out and getting beat pretty handily threw a lot of chaos into it as well.
In terms of interest in the college football playoff, I'm sure the powers that be know that Deion in Colorado would probably bring the most eyeballs if they represented the Big 12 in the conference in the game. But if they don't get to the conference championship, it's going to be almost impossible to justify giving them the spot.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to win the conference. Speaking of complicated tiebreakers, so right now Texas leads the SEC at 6-1, 10-1 overall. But the SEC sent out an email going, we had to do a lot of complicated math because they have the same deal with just one long set of standings and the top two make it. And they go, based on our computations, Georgia has made the conference championship game no matter what, because they don't have any more conference games. They're done at 6-2.
And they have the number one strength of schedule in the country, I believe.
And no matter what happens, no matter what ties, even if, you know, there's a four-way tie, even if Texas wins, even if Tennessee and Texas A&M all finish 6-2 and they all have a four-way tie, somehow Georgia is definitely in. So they have given the Bulldogs one of the two slots in the SEC championship game and have said that the other spot will go to the winner of the Texas-Texas A&M game.
Woo!
At the end of the week. So Tennessee, sorry, you're kind of out. Tennessee's probably going, we're okay with that because that means we can't lose that game, and we're probably in the playoff as long as we win our last game here. So we're not all that disappointed to not be in the championship game because you can't lose a game you're not playing in. So that makes this week's game between Texas and Texas A&M, two former rivals, who then the rivalry got broken up when Texas A&M left for the SEC, are now back together and in the first year playing one of the bigger games that they've probably had in their storied history, playing for a spot in the SEC championship game against Georgia this week.
Fantastic drama. Fantastic.
Texas still has a lot to prove, even at 10-1.
Yep.
Their strength of victory is pretty darn poor.
I mean,
this season,
I'm looking at strength of schedule rankings and ratings. They're top 10. They're number 10.
Texas is?
Texas.
That's pretty they have a lot of victories, which helps.
Strength of schedule, though.
We went through it last week. I mean,
10.
Their best wins are Vanderbilt. Oklahoma went and got better this week.
Yep.
After they beat Alabama, that's for sure. And the Michigan, it's okay. Florida it's getting better. It's starting to look a little bit better as the season goes on for Texas than it did earlier. I'll say that. So just a lot of tiebreaker weird stuff going on in college football right now.
It's going to be really interesting if Alabama, with three losses, is looked at by a committee or by whatever rules that they use and say, even at three losses, the number two strength of schedule in the country, we're going to put them in.
I don't know what the rules are,
though. I don't either.
I mean, it really is ultimately just up to what the committee decides. And if they say, well, you know, eye test, who do we think would win, Alabama or Indiana? I have a feeling that most people in the room, if they're being honest, would probably say Alabama's probably the favorite in that game.
Yes.
So should they be in the playoff over a one-loss Indiana team?
See, I say no. I say no because, you know, being a fan of a team that's an independent, you know, you always have these arguments every single year. But Indiana deserves to go and get its doors blown off as well.
I'm certainly no SEC homer.
Well, what's the point of wins and losses? You know what I mean? If you're just going to do the eye test at the end of the year.
I'm no SEC homer, but at some point you have to acknowledge, if you put all the good teams in the same conference, three losses is not really that disqualifying anymore. If you have to play Texas and Oklahoma and Georgia and Auburn, and I mean, It's just an impossible gauntlet in that conference, and it's not even comparable to the Big 12 and the ACC anymore. I mean, not even a little bit. The conference schedule in the SEC is now so tough that you do have to give them an extra loss or two compared. Now, the Big Ten is much better. I mean, you know, they've got three of the top four teams in the country, yep, in Oregon, Ohio State, and Penn State. But Indiana only played one of them, so they're not exactly playing the most challenging Big Ten schedule out of them. So I don't know how much credit you give them for being in the Big Ten and being in with a one-loss team.
Yeah, it's just tough because, you know, the non-conference kills you, the ones that you schedule years in advance sometimes. And, I mean, look, my Irish are a really good example of a team. You know, if you put the Irish in, if they beat SC, and they're 11-1. And Indiana they win their last game, and they're 11-1, Ben. They both have losses, but one of them's to a much tougher opponent in Ohio State and Indiana. It's a much tougher opponent than NIU. But I have the feeling that Notre Dame would get a nod over in Indiana.
Well, they're,
right?
they're five spots ahead of Indiana in this week's AP poll. We'll see what the playoff rankers say tomorrow. But clearly, you know, the opinion right now is that Notre Dame is well ahead of Indiana.
Yeah, they are.
Despite just one loss for each team.
And just despite a 10-slot difference in strength.
The Texas A&M win helps more for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's not how bad your losses are, but how good your wins are.
What's the chaos that could occur if Texas A&M wins against Texas?
Well, that would knock Texas out of the championship game, but Texas would still be in the playoff. They're not falling from three out of the top 12, so they'll still get in. Texas A&M will have a clear path to making the playoff, because if they would beat Georgia, they would definitely be in.
Yep.
Whether or not they'll get an at-large berth with four losses if they lose the SEC championship, I doubt that. So really, they're in if they win their last two, and otherwise they're probably not going to make the college football playoff.
Man, just a total and complete headache. I'm here for all of it.
And then Boise State should control their own destiny, you know, as the Power Four winner if they get in, because they're number 11 right now. But they have a tough, probably, championship game against UNLV coming up in a couple of weeks. And they still have one non-conference game left. Oregon State, who's not, you know, not a pushover. Is, you know, they beat Washington State this week. So they could face a couple of dangerous games on their path to the playoff, but definitely control their own destiny going in, especially after Army lost, Navy lost, clear out the other AAC teams. Tulane, I think, is the highest ranked other team at 9-2 now from the AAC non-power fours.
Going to be fun, man. Going to be a lot of fun the last few weeks. And then, of course, into the playoffs. Going to be elite viewing. I can't wait.
Annie and Elston coming up at the top of the hour. I know you always get some soccer talk with them. I did want to congratulate the USD Torero men. Beat number 10 Duke in the second round of the NCAA tournament yesterday on a goal. Just one goal. 1-0 was the final. And I read this story. I thought you'd find this kind of interesting. I don't know if you caught it, but Mark Ziegler wrote about him in the UT. So the kid who scored the goal, Jack Sandmeyer is his name, went to St. Augustine for high school here, went to UC Davis to play soccer, went for a year, I guess, I don't know, didn't get along with the coach, whatever, but left after one season and pretty much was done with college soccer. He just came back to be a student at USD. Said, I'll try out just for the club team, like the fun,
team.
And didn't make it. They said, we got so many people, we can't take you. We're sorry. But, you know, word got around and someone said, you really should go out for the actual team.
But if I don't make the club team,
how am I going to make the intercollegiate team? They're, you know, one of the top teams in the country. And he went out. Brian Quinn, the coach, said, I think we actually have a need for you midfielder type player. And he made the team, ended up being a starter. Ended up scoring the winning goal that sent them to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. Couldn't make the club team and is now four wins away from an NCAA title for USD men's soccer. That's a pretty crazy story.
Yeah, I got cut from the Tier 1 baseball team. I'm actually number five in the rotation for the Pods next season. It's very weird how it works out.
Kind of like
stupid.
That, exactly.
It makes no sense.
So they actually get to come back home because they... they won, and Vermont upset Hofstra, so they're going to play at home on Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock at Torero Stadium with a spot in the national quarterfinals on the line. So good luck to the USD Toreros in that one.
All right.
Throw them a little love this morning.
Good. Well, we are almost out of time today, And what do you have the rest of the afternoon?
Well, I go back to Channel 10 later today. We've got the Monday Night Football game on tonight.
Are you gonna, this is a good opportunity to maybe grab a nap in the middle of the newsroom.
Probably.
Yeah.
I need to do some laundry when I get home today.
Yeah.
Some meal prep for the rest of the week.
Look
I haven't
you.
Done that yet.
You're so responsible.
I try to be.
I'm going to go get drunk.
Tomorrow on the program, we're going to have a special guest in studio. My friend Jim Brogan,
who's
a former NBA player. He's now like a mental skills coach for some of the top.
I'm going to have him work on your mental skills.
Someone name-checked him with Jameis Winston recently as one of the guys he's worked with. He's going to be in studio in our 8 o'clock hour. We'll have Frankie back tomorrow. Great job, Frank. For Woodsy, I'm Ben. Have a great rest of your day.